In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to read again the last verse of the reading you heard before from the second chapter of Hebrews. Because Christ himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Imagine the following. You're meeting for the first time in one of your classes for this quarter. The professor hands out his class syllabus. He points out that there are three books to be read, as well as three papers to be written during the term. He also lists for you the days those assignments are to be turned in. From the way it sounds, this professor seems to think his course is the only one you're taking. Who does it sound like? Unless you want to commit academic suicide, I'll let you keep that answer to yourselves. Now, when the first assignment is due, all but one in the class turn in their papers. Let's assume that that one is you. So you go and do what most students do in a similar circumstance, at least in my day. You go to the professor's office and ask for a one-day extension. You tell the professor about the illness or other hardships which have prevented you from completing your assignment. Just a few more hours and you'll be done, you say. The professor generously grants the one-day extension without penalty. You're grateful, and you tell him so. When the second deadline arrives, three papers are not turned in, yours and two other students. Your reason for asking for an extension moves the professor to relent again. When the third due date arrives, nearly a third of the class ask for more time. But this time the professor holds firm. No extensions are granted. Grades are lowered for tardiness. You can't do this to us. It's not fair. You gave extensions before. Why not now? Sound like something you might say? From what I hear about this place, though, turning in papers late without penalty is quite often the rule rather than the exception. And I'm all for that. You profs need to model God's grace when it comes to dealing with your students. And yet there's a parallel here between how students in the class treated their professor and how we treat God. Those students were so accustomed to mercy from their professor when it came to deadlines that they took him for granted. We sometimes are so accustomed to God's grace that we also take it for granted. In other words, we've lost the wow in God's gracious love for us. Yes, we forget to be wowed by the amazing things that happen when God chooses to start all over again in his love to us. We take for granted the suffering he went through for us. We seem at times to forget that what God has done for us in Jesus, that yes, God has done what he promised, given us a new heart, a way back to him, not based on our perfect obedience, which we cannot give, but on the perfect obedience of Christ himself. Now, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews here was apparently trying to help Jewish Christians who were thinking about abandoning their newfound faith. He was trying to convince them that in Christ they had everything they needed. That's what he's also saying to us. God has done for us in Christ, yes, in Christ Jesus, what was promised, given us a new heart, a way back to life with him. Yes, God has done for us in Christ what we cannot do for ourselves. Through Christ, we can start all over again. But is that really what we want? Our experiences of starting all over again are painful, are they not? Bankruptcy, divorce, rehabilitation, you name it. No wonder we avoid restarts. That's why we're tempted to make any restart in life as painless as possible. For example, If a cake in the oven becomes a burnt offering, we toss it and bake something else. If a dress or suit is sewn badly, we scrap it. If a career is cut short, we move to a different place to start all over again. We all want at times to start over, but we always do not want to pay the price or do what it takes. And that's also true in our relationship with God. That's why God had to start the process of making us right with Him again. God does not want to toss us or destroy us because we carry in our very being the reflection of God's glory. And yet the work of God in starting over with us and our world is a very painful process. It costs Jesus everything, including His life, but that's the only way for it to happen. Through His suffering, through the rebirth of our baptisms, through allowing His love to change who we are. And the writer of the Hebrews reminds us here of the pain that cried out from the cross in order to make it happen. Yes, because Christ Himself has suffered, He is able to help those of us who are being tempted. God's suffering with us is also a suffering for us that causes Him to start over in His love for us moment after moment, day after day. And that's why we also know that as He rose from the dead, the death we caused, so we also shall rise from the death of sin to live with Him forever. And so we pray, O Christ, You alone can rescue, You alone can save, You alone can lift us from the grave. You came down to find us, led us out of death. To You alone belongs the highest praise. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.